Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to have you here this day as we come together as church and talk about what it means for us to be church. In the last season we had, Lent and Easter, we've been talking about freedom, the freedom of forgiveness and the freedom to do things, to live in the way of Christ, but talking about freedom in the ways of a church. And often I will greet you with the number of languages that I can say hello in. And I'm getting pretty good about saying hello in a lot of languages. I can't say much else, but I can say hello. But I've been thinking about us as church. You know, we're not a huge church like some others are, but I was going through, you know, our membership and thinking where we are from. And it's amazing. We have people who are members of this church that are born and raised in the United States. Did you know that? You probably knew that one. We have members of our church that are from Guatemala, the Philippines, Sri Lanka, Malaysia, Pakistan, Vietnam. I know that one real well. Brazil, Liberia, South Africa, India, Japan, and Germany. And I'm sure I've missed some. I missed one at the first service. But I've got at least 13 here that I know for sure. It is a wonderful and an awesome thing. And we come together as that group of people to know what it means to be the church. And to be honest with you, I don't know many other places that really take serious God's love for everybody and trying to include everybody at the table. In fact, there are ideas and theories out there that you can't put together organizations that are as diverse as we are and still function and do things. And I take issue with that. The church and the fullness of the gospel has always been that people who accepted all and who had all at the table. And how do we live in the freedom of that? As I mentioned, we've talked about freedom and forgiveness and other things at Easter, but how do we live in the freedom as a community together? And what does it mean to be the church? So to begin with, I want to do something that at least those of you raised in the North American context will recognize. Put your hands together like this. Do you remember this? Oh my gosh, he's doing it again. Here is the
church.
Here is the
people.
Open the door and see all the people. At first service night, everybody who was part of that can leave if they'd like to. But again, I'd like to thank all the team that did that. But it was a wonderful and a great thing. And I'm hoping now I can get you back in rain and we can talk about something. But I doubt it. I think that was way over the top. We're going to have to talk to somebody. I do want to ask Peg, you were going to say something. Do you remember? In the middle of all that, the church is a place where you find... Stand for the benediction now. You know, in the little skip that we saw, you know, a lot of things were said that we do here. We use the visuals not just as a feast of visual whatever that you can get any place out there, but a way to communicate a message. We do have cookies for fellowship. It is not a place where you can catch a nap. It is a place where you can find people like babysitters and things. Those happen. We do have things for sale. I will not tell you how to vote or the IRS will call me. So we will not do that. And some of you will call me. And it is a place of worship, but that's not what we are about. You know, it's important we know what the church is. Since many of us have been involved in it for so long, sometimes we take it for granted. Last week, for those of you that were here, I talked about church in the small sense of the word. I used the example of Nelson Mandela when he was in prison, how he put together a church of people, those who cared for each other, not just among the prisoners themselves, but he got to know the guards and loved the guards at the same time, and how they formed a small, tight community. We also talked about our efforts in the fall of 2008, how we want to put together koinonia groups, small fellowship groups, and you hear more about that as we go along. But it's not just about us caring for each other in the smallness of who we are today, or even in small groups. But what do we do with the message of Jesus Christ? In the gospel reading today, we have a powerful lesson from Jesus and from Peter. Jesus asked Peter, who do people say that I am? And then, who do you say that I am? He says, you're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus turned to Peter and said, I'm going to build a church. And what does he say? He says, I'm going to build a church on a fancy campaign of raising a lot of money and it's going to be here. Did he say that? I'm going to build a church on this theology of ideas that I've got from the Old Testament. Did he say that? I'm going to build church on you, on Peter, and you will be called the rock. We as the church are a human organization. We are people. That's who we are. We have a place, we have things that we talk about, we have core beliefs, we have all those. But bottom line, when Jesus teaches us, we are a church that's built on people. It is a human organization. Sometimes we make mistakes, but the center of who we are is about loving people. As Peg has reminded us today, it's a place where we find love. When Jesus was doing his teaching in the Middle East, there was one point where his disciples were found in a field of wheat. And they were hungry. And it was a Sunday. Or actually, it was a Saturday. It was a Sabbath. And they were not supposed to work, pick grains of wheat to eat, because you were not allowed to work on a Sabbath. They picked grains, they ate. The leaders say, "How do you allow that?" And Jesus said, "The Sabbath, you know, people weren't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for people." And what we are about is an organization of people who receive and know God's love. What we know is Christ came into this world that we might have life and that we might have it abundantly. It doesn't say anything about building or ideology, that we, people, might have life and we might have love. Secondly, we are a people, but also we meet where? We meet in a place, a building. You know, Colleen's definition from the dictionary, a church is a place of public worship. Well, that's kind of true. In many ways. But we need to know we're more than that, right? As a pastor, I've worked in 4 churches and have loved each of their buildings. When I was a student, I worked at Hemingway in Evanston. It was a building that was built in the turn of the century. I mean, right around 1900. And they had a boiler that was older than that. And I think they've still got it. You know, they had a wonderful gym made all out of wood. They had a heating the forced air heat. They had the grills on the wall to keep the building, keep the gym warm. That boiler, if you go there at night, it sounded like every ghost in the world was in that church. Scare you to death. But I loved that building. It was an awesome place to work with kids, especially in that gym. When I worked at Cary, the first church I was at as an associate, they had a wonderful, beautiful wraparound sanctuary like we have here. And a wonderful fellowship room with the sun streaming in which you could do all kinds of things with youth and confirmation classes and children. My third church, I worked at Hampshire, a small church, you know, small country church with a steeple. And we had a bell. Remember those days? And the little children would argue about who got to ring the bell when church started. And so we had to get a list together. Because it was a wonderful privilege for them to see those little kids, some who couldn't pull the bell. The ushers had to help them. I love that building, and I love the pine trees around it and the whole setting. As we meet here in this wonderful and beautiful space, I love this room. The floors, you know, the beautiful floors that we have, the beautiful wraparound that we have, the beams that go from the post that spread out into the sanctuary, the symbol that we are to go into the community. I love this building, but we need to know, right? It's about what we receive here and what we take from here, not just the building. Tony Campolo, some of you may know him. He's an evangelical preacher on a national level, and he's a gentleman that doesn't pull any punches. And one, he tells a story about one day a long time ago, he was meeting with a pastor who had just built a new church, a building. And the pastor took him into the sanctuary and pointed to the cross in their sanctuary. And with a kind of like a prideful tone in his voice, the pastor told Mr. Campolo, "That cross, that cost us $10,000. Kind of prideful. And Mr. Campolo, who didn't pull any punches, said, "Well, you know, you got ripped off. It wasn't long ago Christians got those for free." It's not about the building. It's about the people. And we need to be clear on that. It is about us. Secondly, it is about us, but not just about the people that meet here. But it's about the movement of who and what we are. In the first reading today, we hear Paul speaking to the council after he's been accused of saying some heretical things. And as he makes his defense about what Christ is about in the world then, what does he call themselves? He doesn't say, "We are a church. We are Christians." He said, "We are people of the way." Of the way. Not of a place, but a people who have a way of doing things. Recently, there's been an association called the Mustard Seed Association of a lot of churches in our country and in our world. They get together and they talk about little things each of them do to love others and to spread the gospel. And their message is, their motto is, the church has left the building. Don't you love that? The church has left the building. That's who we are. We are a people of love, but we are a movement of love, of way into this world. We try our best to do that, to do what the early church taught us. One of the early emperors who tried to get rid of the church, persecute the church, he was amazed at these people of the way because these people of the way fed poor people. And not only, he said, did they feed their own Christian poor people, people of the way, but they feed our poor people who aren't even part of them. They just feed people who are in need because they had a way. Here at Our Redeemers, we try to do that on many different ways and encourage that by individuals. We have a shawl ministry. Do you know that one? People make shawls, they take it out to those who are hurt and put those shawls around them. And in that, what? The church has left the building, right? That happens. We have 77 people that are going to go on a mission trip this summer to Mississippi and to Tennessee. And in that, a large part of the church is going to leave the building and not even be here on Sunday worship, because we know it's about leaving the building. A number of years ago when I first came, I had a teacher from our preschool come to me, and we were talking about some of the students that were there. And the teacher told me, you know, Pastor, there was this child that had some issues in their life, and I know there's a separation of church and state stuff and education, but I prayed for that child. I prayed for that child. And even when we do things like that, we proclaim the church has left the building, because that's who and what we are. So we are a people, and we're a people with a movement in love. But finally, and maybe most importantly today, as we are a people and as we move in the way of that love into the community, we not only do things lovingly, but we are also called to lead in loving ways. In the church, that has been called the ministry, a prophetic ministry. Not prophecy and then being able to predict the future. Not that left behind stuff, that, you know, novel things that are out there. It's not that. Prophetic ministry has to do with naming the reality and bringing love to bear on the issues in our world. It's about leading with love. Last Sunday, I mentioned an anniversary that we had as a nation. A few weeks ago was the 4th anniversary of Martin Luther King Jr.'s assassination. Do you remember that? Have you heard any of those things on TV or radio? I mentioned it briefly last week, but I wanted to share a story of a man that I heard about not too long ago. The gentleman's name is Reverend Frank McCray. Reverend McCray was a district superintendent in the United Methodist Church in Tennessee, in Memphis. And many of you know what a district superintendent is. You know, we have a district superintendent, that's my boss. He's in Elgin right now. So we were organized that way. Reverend McCray was a district superintendent in Memphis when Martin Luther King Jr. was shot. He was a district superintendent for Mr. Reverend James Lawson, who asked King to come and speak in Memphis. Mr. McCray was also a close friend of the mayor of Memphis, Henry Lobb, and supported Lobb, called him a great man, even though he said he was wrong on this issue. If you remember, there was a strike of workers, sanitation workers. And when that strike came, Reverend McCray said he supported Henry. He wasn't with the strikers. He thought Henry was right. But then him and some others started to look at the issues and realized there were injustices. And he made a point of having lunch with the mayor, his friend, and said, Henry, you got to do something about this. But he said his friend would not listen to him. He also said, as district superintendent, there are other churches that sent money to Memphis to help support those who were there. And Reverend McCray had to administer that to help those who were on strike. Can you imagine his position? He said many church members, many European Americans didn't care for what he was doing. And he said many African Americans didn't trust him. And as he was administering this to try to help the situation, he said he got calls. He got anonymous phone calls that said this: wouldn't it be a shame if your children were walking to school and something would happen to them? He got letters from church members of Methodist churches criticizing him, saying hateful things. And yet he said, I had to love those people that were hating me and minister to those churches. In fact, he went to preach at some of those churches. And he said, he knew some of the people. He said, I've received your letter. And he said some of the people cringed in the pews thinking he might read those letters in church. But he struggled with that. And as he talked about it and remembered those issues, he said, you know, all I know, all I have ever known about Jesus is that we are to love each other and to take care of each other. And he says, I was just an old Memphis boy raised in the city. And I loved my city. I grew up here. And all I wanted to do was do what is right. He said, if I had to do it today, I'd do it better because I'm smarter. But he said, I was just a kid in an important position. And I just wanted to do what was right by all the people. That's all. He wasn't a radical. He wasn't an ideologue. He wanted to do right by all the people because he knew the love of Jesus. And that's prophetic. We as a church are called to do what's right by all the people. Christ calls us to love all in as many ways as we can. And I believe deep in my heart that this world needs Christian leaders who will step out in ways of love and grace and say, Christ loves us, and this is what we're going to do, and this is why we're going to do it. We may be criticized, yes. It may be difficult, yes. We may even disagree on it. But when the love of Christ is brought to bear in the world and in our communities, God blesses that and uses that in amazing ways. As a church, we are people who come to know love. As a church, we are people who move as the way into the community. It is a movement of love. And finally, we are people who lead with love in a difficult, sometimes broken world. So this week, I want to ask you to do one thing. One extra thing. And it doesn't have to be world-changing. It doesn't have to be anything famous. It doesn't have to be anything you even share with anybody. But I, as a follower of Christ, as a Christian, I want you to take one step to lead with love. It may be with your family. It may be at your workplace. It may be in your neighborhood. But wherever it is, lead with love. Step out and surprise somebody that you can care for them. Or you can speak for them. Or you can do something for them on behalf of Jesus. And in that, we come to know that we are church. Let's bow for prayer. Most loving God, we thank you for what you have given us. We thank you for the gift of the church this day, that we might come together and love each other. And we thank you for the beautiful space in which we might do that. We ask that you touch each of our hearts this day that we might remember that we are a people of love. That we are a people of the way to move that love into this world. And that we are a people called to lead in love. So touch us each this day with the redeeming power of Jesus Christ. And lift us up as a church in ways of love and grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.